If you don't know me, I love to sing. I grew up singing. I grew up in a family of singers. And of course, worshiping God, I sang often. I love to sing, and I can tell that some people here love to sing. It looks like Tim loves to sing. But have you ever asked yourself, why do we sing? Why do we sing? You see that the answer to the question why is so important. This question why is so important. Because it's the answer to the question why that gives us the reason for doing something. It gives us the motivation to start something, and it gives us the inspiration to continue something. It's the answer to the question why that will make you more convicted about the action. So why do we sing? Let's take a journey through the Word of God. We're going to look at people that sang so that we can answer the question, why do we sing? Look at Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15, we see a people, God's people, the Israelites, who have just been freed from Egyptian bondage. The Egyptians pursued them, but they were destroyed by the waters of the Red Sea. And we're going to see here the resulting song of Moses, Exodus chapter 15 is called. After they've been delivered, this is the song of Moses and the Israelites. Notice with me in chapter 15, 1 through 3. I will sing to the Lord, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And then look at 6 and 7. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And then 11 through 13. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. So why did the people of God, after they were delivered, sing? Then turn to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra, chapter 3 and verse 11. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse 11, post-exilic, meaning it was after captivity. They've been freed from captivity. They are rebuilding the temple. Look at Ezra 3 and 11. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Why did God's people at the rebuilding of the temple sing? And then, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't go to the book of Psalms. The psalmist writers praising God. Let's look at a few of the psalms. Turn to Psalm chapter 5. In Psalm chapter 5, 11 and 12, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. And then in Psalm chapter 13, 5 and 6. Psalm 13, 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And then turn to Psalm chapter 89. Psalm 89, 1 and 2. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. And then Psalm 95 and verse 1. Psalm 95, 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And then Psalm 96, 1 through 4. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And then lastly, Psalm chapter 100. Psalm 100, 1 through 5, a well-known passage. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and like sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Why did the psalmist writers in all these cases sing to the Lord? Then look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas in prison. And look at verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Why did Paul and Silas sing? Then let's look at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, 5 and 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 8 through 11. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And then in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then look at the end of the book of James in chapter 5 and verse 13. Chapter 5 and verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms or sing songs. Why do we see in the New Testament Christians singing? It doesn't end there in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 4 and 5, the vision that John had of those surrounding the throne of God. Look at verses 8 and 11 in chapter 4. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Why does this scene in heaven of God's people around the throne of God, why are they singing continually? Before we answer that question, we need to look at two scriptures in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and Colossians 3 and verse 16, these are two well-known scriptures that talk about singing to God. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, it says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." This is a call to sing. And then in Colossians 3 and verse 16, similarly, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Another call to the church at Colossae to sing. But why do they sing? You see, these two passages we commonly use to show that we do not use mechanical instruments in our worship. As Tim said, we use our voice and our heart in our worship to the Lord. You don't find a mechanical instrument in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. But let me suggest to you that these verses were not placed in Scripture with the sole intent to win a debate about mechanical instruments. Let's look at the context of why the writer tells them to sing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 to the church at Ephesus. Look at verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." And then look at verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then look at the immediate context surrounding verse 19. Look at verses 15 through 21. "You were once in darkness," verse 8. In verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or carefully, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for you, verses 1 and 2. "You were once in darkness, now you're in light," verse 15. Here's how a child of light walks in verse 15 through 21. And look at Colossians chapter 3. The context surrounding Colossians 3 and verse 16. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, "If you were raised with Christ," those that were baptized in chapter 2 and verse 12 have been raised in newness of life. "So, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." And then in verses 12 through 17. In verses 12 through 17, the counterpoint to verses 5 through verse 11, "You were again once in darkness. Here's the things you used to do, but you've been raised out of those things." Look at verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see the context of Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16? God is great. He gave you Jesus. You used to walk in darkness and do unchristian things. You've been called as children of light now to do Christian things because you've been raised to walk in newness of life. And now looking at that situation in your past, you came out of darkness and into light. How can you do anything but sing? We sing because God saves. All these situations that we've looked at in Scripture, there's so much that singing does to us, but primarily we see the people of God singing because God saves. God delivered his people from Egypt, and they sang. God brings his people into the promised land. God delivers his people from captivity, and they sang. God saves the entire world by the one-time sacrifice of his only Son, Jesus Christ, and we sing. God continues to love and watch over his children. God denies the wicked and sets free the saved. That's what he's going to do on Judgment Day. God is the God of love, the God of mercy. God is on the throne with his people around him. Why are they singing? Because God has saved. Nearly every New Testament book talks about this great victory that God so freely gives to those who are willing to submit to his will. In Ephesians chapter 2, before we get to chapter 5, where he reminds them they were once in darkness, in Ephesians chapter 2, we see the same thing. Verses 1 through 4, you used to be without God, without salvation. And then in verse 4, that key word, but God, who is rich in his mercy, gave you salvation. Because God saves, the people of God sing. How can we, who are here this morning, who were once in darkness, have received that great sacrifice given to us, do anything but praise God for it? I want you to imagine for a moment hanging from a cliff. You're hanging maybe just by one arm at this point. Thousands of feet below, you see your death, which is about to happen. You're about to partake in this situation that is going to lead to death. And someone comes up to you, we'll call his name Tim. This Tim comes up to you, he grabs onto your hand, and he pulls you to safety. How would you respond to that physical salvation? You'd tell everyone about it. You'd praise him for what he did. You'd say, I was about to plummet to death, and yet you saved me. I just had to hold on. Well, that's exactly what God has done for each of us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who himself, Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness. See, just like hanging on the cliff, each of us that are saved here this morning, we used to be living according to the law of sin and death. Colossians 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Here's the payment, or here's what sin gets. You sin and you die. Each of us were on that path. But then Romans, a couple chapters later, verses 1 and 2. It says, if you're in Christ, you no longer live according to the law of sin and death. You no longer are in a situation where if you sin, you die. Because that's what Jesus Christ's sacrifice has done for you. And how can you do anything but praise His name for what He's done? So there are various individuals here this morning. I don't know the state of each of us. There are those that are either saved and praising God for it, or there are those that aren't really singing. They may be moving their lips and praising God, but they don't sing according to how Scripture says we sing. They don't see a saved life of God and His mercy pulling them away from darkness and into light. So whatever state you're in this morning, God is asking that you are more fervent and diligent in your singing. To those that are singing, are in a saved state, maybe they've been not singing as they should. Maybe they haven't properly recognized what God has done for them, and thus they don't praise His name properly. Maybe they need encouragement to get back to singing how we see the people of God sing. I want you to recognize one thing here as we come to a conclusion. In Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. Near the end of the Old Testament, right before Haggai, right after Habakkuk. Zephaniah 3 and verse 17 says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." See what the Bible tells us? That God sings for His saved people. In Isaiah 62 and verse 5, it says, "And the bridegroom rejoices over the bride. So shall your God rejoice over you." God sings for His saved people. His saved people should sing to God. Why do we sing? Because God saves. This morning, we've had an opportunity for an invitation right now. I've talked about how it specifically pertains to the lesson, how those that are saved should do nothing but praise God. But this invitation is for more than just my lesson this morning. This invitation is for those that want to know more about the plan of salvation. I know men here that would love to study with you, and maybe they currently are studying with you, to show you what it takes to become a child of the light, to learn that salvation plan so that those people can also one day be singing. And there are those that are Christians that are living life, a life that has never been promised to not have difficulties. That's what life is. There are those that are struggling and need the encouragement of the church. They know they aren't singing appropriately, and they'd like to ask for prayers. This invitation song is for either of those situations. Won't you come as we stand and we sing?
Would would you be free from your burden of